Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host, and it is here I call upon you to be moved, elevated, transformed, and ultimately propelled forward. Hello, Kenzie Burke here. Welcome back to the Body Forward Podcast. Today I have a stunning guest on. She shares so much grace and inspiration. I cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. Her name is Karen Hadadon. She is the founder of a lifestyle brand that helps individuals become better versions of their yesterday selves and is an author of the book Beauty in the Stillness. In this episode, we dive deep on her own healing journey. She has been overcoming gut issues, SIBO, and endometriosis. But she has not let her health issues define her, and she has used them as her greatest teacher to move her life in aligned forward motion, which is very aligned with all things body forward. In this episode, you will hear us speak on balancing hustle and play, living in a calm and balanced energy to reap the highest awards, creating a healthy relationship with social media, being loving and graceful to yourself, Karen's tough healing journey and how she has been overcoming it, taking your health into your own hands, finding opportunities for growth instead of playing victim, the process of writing and publishing a book, learning through the process of life and not letting failure stop you, and so much more. Dive into this episode. It is a good one. Need to know everything about you because you've interviewed me and we have such a connection every time we talk. I feel so connected to you. You also express yourself in the most beautiful ways. And I also know you've been on a deep journey this past 3 months, 4 months, however long. And I want to hear all about it. But let's just start with you.
Okay.
Who are you? Where do you come from? What's your shtick?
Who am I? So my name is Karen. I was born and raised in New Jersey, lived here my whole life, still live here. I am an author. I am the founder and creator behind the brand ECNU, which is a lifestyle brand that promotes mindfulness, self-reflection, living in the present moment. And then when I'm not doing all of my side hustles, I also have a full-time job in advertising in New York. So all of my work, my book, my brand, that's all things I love and do on the side. But I also have this whole other career that's been a very long time coming, and I love what I do. And I'm very grateful to say that I've arrived at a place where I'm able to balance both and show up fully for both and, you know, both be a source of joy and inspiration. So yeah, that's me in a very quick nutshell.
That's amazing that you balance both. Is that something that you foresee wanting to do for a long time, or do you see that there is going to be a time when you want one more than the other?
Growing up, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Everyone in my family, like my uncles, family friends, you know, older cousins, like everyone all around me was an entrepreneur, except for my dad. My dad like lived the corporate life, and he came from Turkey with nothing, and he's really fulfilled the American dream, and he's so successful, not financially, but also just in life experiences. Like, he's brought so much into his life. And growing up, I would always look up to my dad and think like, he's living a very balanced life, but like, I don't want to work for someone for the rest of my life. I've always been drawn to being my own boss. I've always had that leadership mentality, and I've always been a very creative soul. And I knew that one day I would fully be that and fully be on that path. And I've tried a few things growing up. Like, I had a fashion blog when I was in high school. I had a t-shirt brand in college. I almost launched a healthy snack brand when I was graduating school. And, you know, this brand that I've been building, and now me being an author, I know that is my life path, especially the writing piece. Like, it's the thing that makes me so fulfilled and so happy. And I if I could, I would write 12 hours a day and they would just, the words will flow out so easily. But at the same time, my job is fun. It's creative. The people I work with are so brilliant and inspiring. And I feel like my job allows me to have all of these amazing experiences and conversations and moments that leave me feeling so inspired that then help me write and create from this authentic place for my brand and for my book and all the other things. And so I'm at this place right now where I'm not ready to quit the full-time job. And because I'm able to do both so comfortably, it's like, why would I? Like, that's what's really paying my bills right now. And like getting that paycheck every month is great. But I do know that there will come a moment where I can't show up 100% to both. And I'm someone where if I can't be 100%, like I'm always all in. And if I can't do that, it's a disservice to my author life, and it's also a disservice to my company. And so I imagine like I'll be working for another few years until I'm ready to like settle down, because I know like once I'm married and want to become a mother and like live the suburban lifestyle, like I want to be raising my kids. I want to be there every day. I don't want to be called into a meeting at 8 a.m. and not be able to drop my kids off to school. Like I want to be such a present, loving mother. And so I don't have to worry about that yet, but right now I'm very content with the way that I can do both.
And how do you do both? I mean, do you not find stress in that at all? Or is your life work?
Honestly, no. And I'm really grateful to say that. I think it's because I have a very like unique work situation where I live on the East Coast, but half of my team is in LA. And so I pretty much work LA hours. So I have my mornings like to myself, which is phenomenal because I'm such a morning person. And I work in advertising, and advertising, it comes in waves. Like there are weeks where it's like we're doing a pitch for a new client and it's like up until 1 a.m. like designing a deck and like all this like intense effort. And then the following week it's like quiet, like birds are chirping, like it's very slow. So I've learned how to find those little moments of or like pockets of time where I could devote to creation. But I also believe that if something is important enough, you will find a way. And if it's not, you're going to find an excuse for it. And I found many excuses growing up when it came to my fashion blog. I was like, well, no one's like reposting it. So like, that's why it's not getting traction. Or like I would come up with excuses as to why my t-shirt brand wasn't being successful. And at the end of the day, those were excuses. Mm-hmm. But my brand and my book, it's like those are my childhood dreams and they are so me. Like I'm such a mindful, spiritual person that anytime I'm able to create for my brand or for that side of my life, it's like I'm my authentic self. So like how could I not create space for that? But I'm also really – I've learned this over the past few years, like my early 20s were always about hustling. When I was in college, I went to school in Manhattan, and every semester I had to have an internship and I had to have a job. And, you know, after classes, I would like go to networking events because I wanted to build my career. And I'm so grateful that I did that because that effort brought me to where I am today, where I do have a balanced life now. But I was so exhausted, like when I turned 25, I was like, I don't want to fucking hustle anymore. Like I've hustled enough and like I built this foundation and now I want to play. And now I'm so good on like, you know, Saturdays, like in the mornings, I'll write a little bit and then I'll have a day and I'll go out with my friends and I'll go out for a drink or I'll like do an activity or go to a workout, whatever it is. And I'm able to balance that. And then, you know, there are days where I'm so busy with my job where I can't even think about putting up a story on Instagram, but I don't beat myself up over it anymore. It's like, I just want to be kinder and compassionate to myself. And at the end of the day, it's like, I've done the work and now I'm reaping the benefits and it's that balance and living like a calmer life that's going to reap even more benefits.
Yeah, I think when you get into that calm space, that's when things translate so well. I have to tell myself this all the time, but it's so much better to not post for 2 days and then to post, but being to be in your full expression, to be able to share what's deep within you, you know, and that that really hits versus forcing yourself. And that kind of goes through that, speaks to that hustle culture, because it's so easy to just hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle. But you have to ask yourself, what is this even giving me? You know, is it even giving me the results I want? Because I think when you go through so much hustle, you stop even connecting with the essence of what you're doing or why you're doing it.
Yeah. And it all goes back to energy. I mean, this happened maybe like 2 years ago, and I'm so happy I was aware of it, that I noticed. I posted this a quote, or like a essay or quote, poem, whatever, on my page. And I like forced myself to write about a topic that I thought other people wanted to hear. And I like forced myself to write because I was a bit silent. So I was like, I need to post something today. And that was the energy I was writing from, right? Like, gotta do it, like, da da da. And I posted, and it got like 1,000 likes, which, like, that's great. It hit 1,000 people and it resonated. And like, it's not that I wasn't proud of the work, but I wasn't proud of the place I created from. And then there are days where I'm just like running from like a meeting to a meeting, and like something will happen and I'll feel inspired and I'll write it like a line in my note, and then I'll come home and I'll just bang out a poem and I'll post that because it's so authentic, and it'll get like 80,000 likes. And I'm like, it's an energy game. And if I'm not coming from like an authentic, pure place where I'm really expressing where I'm at, what am I really doing it for? Like, let's be real. Like, we're all on Instagram all day. How often do we realize like our favorite influencer didn't post today? Like, we don't even notice. We're just like,
I know.
So it's like, people don't really care about me that much, or you know what I mean? So that's the reality of it. And that's how I've also developed a really healthy relationship with social media. Like, I know when to shut off, and I know when to hustle a little bit more, like push myself a little bit more. But I think I'm learning every day. I need to be more loving and graceful towards myself. Like, I'm on a health journey right now. Like, I don't need my social media cadence to be the stress, like another form of stress in my life. You know, it's because not
it can scary. Become that. Yeah. Okay. Let's hear about this health journey. What's going on?
Oh my God. So much. I'll start off by saying this. I read this quote a while ago, and it really, really hit me, and it made me feel grateful for this entire path that I've been on. And it was like, sometimes your pain is so hard because your calling in life is a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, ever since I was 11, I'll try to give the short version, but like ever since I was 11, I had constipation, digestive issues, bloating, whatever. In my early teens, I went to so many different GI doctors, did like celiac tests, allergy tests, breath tests, like all these different things, and nothing came up. The theme of my life was like, everything is normal. And when I was in high school, I was put on a medication to help with my digestion, and that was like the miracle pill. Like, I was going regularly, wasn't having any issues. And then when I was in college, I was like 16 or 17 at the time. Every month for 7 months, I was getting tonsillitis for like 2.5 weeks with like 105 fever, hardcore antibiotics for 7 months straight. So I was like on antibiotics like 2 months out of every 2 weeks every month for 7 months. So like, that's a lot on your system. And I'm all about holistic health and nutrition and whatever. So like, now when I think about that, I'm like, how did I put myself in that situation? I would never do that now. But that really wreaked havoc on my system. And I wasn't advised to take any probiotics or supplement properly. And I've always grown up with a Mediterranean diet. Like, I'm Middle Eastern, and my mom would cook a home-cooked meal every single day. Like, she would never buy any junk food. So I always grew up with a very healthy diet. and lifestyle. I was very active. I was very happy growing up. And so, you know, throughout college, the medicine that I was taking stopped working. And I just started feeling like I didn't want to be on medication for the rest of my life just to go to the bathroom. Like, to me, it made no sense. I was like, my body was designed by higher power to function in the way that it was designed to. And I want to figure out how to get back to that balance and that equilibrium. And that's when I just started to really take health into my own hands, because every doctor I went to was like, eat more fiber and like take Miralax. And I'm like, I've been eating fiber. Like, it's not that. And I'm not taking that. Like, I didn't feel aligned to that advice. And that's when I started to really like get into wellness. Like, that was what catapulted me into this whole world of mindfulness and wellness. And I came across Jordan Younger's podcast when I was like 17 or 18, which I know you're friends with and stuff. And that got me so intrigued of like, what else exists in this world that Western medicine doesn't even talk about. And then I got into mindfulness and meditation and breath work. And I started to learn what foods made me feel good and what didn't, and like what supplements I should probably start taking. And I stopped eating gluten and I stopped eating dairy, and I started to feel really good. And then like fast forward, I learned a little bit more about my body, but it still didn't feel normal. Like, I wasn't going frequently and it was painful and whatnot. And fast forward to October of 2019, I was at a lot of stress at the time. I just started my first job coming out of college, and college was like this really beautiful experience. I'm very blessed to say I went to school in Manhattan and I lived like 30 lives in like the span of 4 years. I mean, I was like at industry events and fashion week and I was doing all the things I wanted to do. But by the time senior year came, I was going through a lot of like friendship struggles, and like my roommates and I were having some issues, and like boys and like college stress and classes, and like I'm going to be in the real world soon. And my entire life, I just wanted to get to the next level. Like, when I was in middle school, I wanted to be in high school. When I was in high school, I was like, I want to be in New York. And then I'm now in New York. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, am I ready for that next chapter? And so my senior year of college, I started to experience, I don't want to say depression, but I was really low for like months and I couldn't shake it off. And the way the universe – sorry, I'm going backwards. But the way the universe works is really beautiful, because – I was going to my best friend at the time and I was like, I'm so scared of like what's to come. Like, everyone around me had a job already lined up and I didn't. And that provided so much stress around me. Pressure from my parents, like, take this job, you got an offer, like, just take it. And I'm like, it's not the job that I want. And so I felt all this pressure, and then friendships changing. And my friend was like, you have to read this book. It's The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I feel like you really need to read it. And I was like, I need anything. So I read the book, and that book, I know it's so cliche when people say this, but like, that really changed my life. Since I finished that book, the way I think is just completely different. You know, at the time I was so nostalgic for the past, you know, freshman, sophomore year of college when it was rainbows and butterflies, and I was so scared of the future. And that book, all it says is like, the only moment you have is the now. And so that's what got me into this whole world of like being present and mindful and like being aware and conscious and like feeling your body and noticing your thoughts. And so I learned all these things, and then I graduate and I got my dream job coming out of college. And 3 weeks into it, I wrote a journal entry and I wrote, this is what I've been waiting for the past 4 years, because I hate this. Like, my client, she's horrible. I don't like the people I work with. I'm not inspired. I don't feel creative. I feel like I'm doing like bitch work. Like, this isn't what I thought it was. And at the time I was so young, like I was 22, any little thing at work would make me spiral. Like, anytime I'd be in a meeting and my client would call me out on something, I would come with me for like a week, and I would overthink everything. And then I'm like, oh my God, my performance is bad and I'm not measuring up to who I thought I was. And, you know, my boss is upset with me. And like, I would really internalize all of that, which made me very, very stressed. So October of 2019, 4 months into my job, I took off my first like paid time off for a week. And my mom and I went to Copenhagen and Paris. It was our first mother-daughter trip, just us two. And I made a promise to myself, you know, once when I'm in these two cities, like that's where I'm going to be. I'm not going to think about work. I'm not going to think about anything else. Because in those 4 months, I forgot everything that Eckhart Tolle told me about. Like I threw it out the window. I forgot what being present was like. And I knew I needed to come back to that. And that trip was life-changing in that spiritual sense where I was present and I was so happy and I wasn't stressed. But then I went out to dinner and I think I caught a bug and I came back and my body just was not the same. So it was like a beautiful experience, but also a really like stressful one. 2 months later, I found out that I had SIBO. So now I'm dealing with SIBO and I couldn't shake it off. I did the antibiotics, couldn't work. Then I started working with a functional doctor, and this is like COVID, the start of COVID. And he, you know, I'm mindful, I meditate every day. And one of the tests that he did was like to check your cortisol levels. And in the intake session or consultation, he was like, tell me about your stress. Like, what's your stress like? And I was like, I'm not stressed. Like, I live my best life. Like, I'm happy. I meditate. I'm active. I have so much love around me. Like, at this point, my job was getting better. I was like, I'm not stressed. And he was like, great. Like, amazing. And then I did all this extensive blood work, hormonal panels, like gut, different like gut tests and food sensitivities, adrenals, like genetics, all these different tests. And all the results just showed my body was so imbalanced. I had all of these gut issues, SIBO, my cortisol levels were through the roof. He told me, he was like, your results look like you are a middle-aged mother going through a divorce who doesn't know how to pay her bills. Like that's the level of stress you're feeling. And I heard that and I was like so confused. I was like, I meditate, like I'm in tune with myself. Like, how is this possible? And that just led me down this whole path of like hormonal imbalance, chronic bloat, chronic digestive, like a lot of fatigue, really, really low energy, painful periods. And I was on that journey for, you know, for years, and I healed a lot of things like low thyroid and hormonal imbalances, but I still was in a lot of pain and I wasn't really getting better. And then earlier this year, it was like World War III happening in my body. It was like right after New Year's. I've never felt this much pain, like really, really bad pelvic pain and like sciatic leg numbness and sciatic back pain. Nausea, but then I couldn't eat, but then I was also bloated and I couldn't take medicine. And long story short, after advocating for myself through my GI gynecologist, I found out that I had endometriosis, which is a chronic disease where the tissue in your uterus starts to grow on other parts of your body and it just wreaks havoc. And it's very, very painful, not just around your cycles, but like every day it's painful. And I cried so much that day that when I got that result that I have endometriosis, because for the first time I was like, I have a clear answer. Like when it came to like my hormones and it's like, okay, but what's the root cause of this? Like there has to be a root cause as to why I have low iron or I'm chronically bloated. And so when I got the results that I have endometriosis, I was like, thank God. Like now I know what it is. And so after a lot of prayers and surrendering and like connecting with my grandmother who's in heaven now, like it led me down to this path of me getting surgery, which I got surgery back in May. And like I knew it was going to be a journey and I knew it wasn't going to be rainbows and butterflies like a week out of surgery, but it's been really hard because I know in my heart the surgery worked and that's what's going to help me like fully heal. I've received so many angel numbers and blessings and signs that make me really believe that. And intuitively, I do feel that. Don't think I was ever put on this path to get to just this point. Like there must be a better ending than where I'm at now. But it's been a roller coaster because there are days where I'm like, I'm 80% healed. I feel great. And then there are days where I'm like, do I have my old body? What is this? And I'm now in this place where it's really hard for me to trust my body. Like, I feel the fear in my body. I'm still very fearful around food, which I wish wasn't the case because I love food and I love to cook and I love trying new things, but it affects me still. I don't know what normal feels like yet to feel safe in my body. And so the past few months have really been like a roller coaster, and every day I'm like, okay, God, like, this is my plan. And he's like, ha ha ha, like, let me show you how, what your plan's going to be. And it's been remarkable though, because I've never felt more connected to myself and more like spiritually aligned with a higher power and like more faith. And I've grew up with religion and whatnot, and I've always been very spiritual, but the past 3 months, I mean, shit has happened with like strangers and experiences that I can't even make up of, like signs from above coming in. And it's taught me, like, the biggest theme that I've learned is like it all comes from inside and within you, and I'm learning how to really, really tap into that and exploring other forms and modalities of healing and doing breath work and noticing the shit that comes up just from breathing. And it's allowed me to really, really connect with myself, and I'm still really grateful for it. I mean, it's so hard, but I'm so grateful that I've been on this path and this was God's plan for me, because without it, I would not be speaking with you today and I would not have written a book. I wouldn't have a brand that's helping so many people. I wouldn't feel this fulfilled. That was a mouthful. But yeah, that's the journey that I've been on.
No, it's so beautiful. And thank you for sharing about it in such an open and candid way. And something I just want to reflect back to you is that healing in general is that, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional. The hardest part about healing, and that what most people don't talk about, is that it is a journey, and it isn't, it's not huge, right? It's not huge booms. Oh, I healed this and I don't.
And it's not linear.
Yes. And it's not linear. You don't get to a place and then not experience things. And that's the hardest part about being on a journey of just healing, and because you go through months, you go through phases where you are feeling like your familiar past, mm-hmm. and it's confronting and it's upsetting because you've taken an action or you've done a thing to not be in that space, and you've had a glimpse of what it feels like to not be in that place anymore, and then you start to doubt, how could it be possible?
Yeah.
So it's frustrating and it's scary, but I commend you for having that perspective. And also at the same time, you know, when you are on an intense healing journey, for anyone listening, and just to yourself, give yourself grace, because it's okay that you aren't comfortable around all foods. Like right now, you need to eat a certain way that's going to make you the most comfortable. You need to eat a certain way that's going to serve your body for where you are at. And that doesn't mean that you'll never be able to enjoy life. But I think that resisting and hating part, and not saying you're doing this, but for anyone listening, when you resist and you hate something or you're mad about it, it doesn't heal anything. And it's okay to be in a phase of life where you have to make different choices. It's okay to eat a certain way for a year because that's going to ultimately serve you in the long run. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's important to hold that perspective, because the surgery was so recent, and that in itself, just the act of the surgery is massive, and you have to give yourself grace through the process.
Totally. And what you said is so relevant to me, because when I was out of the surgery, I mean, now I think back and I'm like, was I good? It was a week after surgery and I was frustrated that I wasn't walking at my normal speed. And my mom was like, you literally were in a 4-hour surgery. They moved everything around internally. Like, girl, like, be grateful that you're walking. Like, yeah. And I was so hard on myself, and I've always been very hard on myself. Like, I've always felt like I need to figure it out. I need to take care of myself. I need to be in control. And this whole journey, this is why it's a blessing. It has really allowed me to like let go of the reins, and I'm like, someone else take over. Like, I can't do this all on my own. But I also think one thing I've recently realized about healing is, you know, there's so many things I have healed in my life, like when it comes to relationships or self-worth or confidence or, you know, parts of me of self-trust or whatever it is. And I've healed so much and I'm so glad that I have, but I also realized like when was like the healed part? It was because I learned all the lessons I needed to learn from that experience.
I was just going to say you stop receiving the same repeated patterns, situations, feelings when you've learned the lesson.
Yes.
It will stop when you've learned the lesson.
Yeah.
And if you ever, which I do, you do, we all do it, why me, why me? You got to look within. There is something you are still doing. I've been in this change in life with finances, with business, with moving, all these things. And I was asking my friend Eric, is it ever going to change? Am I ever going to stop, you know, going through the same repeated pattern? And he's like, yeah, if you really do change these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm someone who's really disciplined. I really do change stuff. Like I, with my body, I was like, I want to reach this capacity. I want to do this. And I got so disciplined and did it. And, you know, but it is really true that it's, there's still lessons attached with some of these things that are repeating in my life that are actually really teaching me a lot and making me rise and pushing myself. And I'll never forget, but a month ago I saw a medium and I said to her, she's like, you're so successful. You're going to keep being successful, all these things. And I said, I just always feel for us how hard I work so hard. And I feel like I have to go through lessons that I shouldn't have to go through. And she's like, that's happening because your body, your life, and God knows you can work hard. And it's pushing you to your highest capacity.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said
that. When she said that, it almost made me accept. It's like, yes, if I didn't still receive some of these lessons and some of these patterns, I wouldn't work as hard as I'm working right now. But I also, with that, wouldn't be pushing myself in the way I'm pushing myself right now. And that is the alchemy and the gold and the, you know, because with your health journey, how much deeper do you need to go into your health, into your soul, I mean, there's more for you, you know?
Oh God, I have like so much I want to respond to that. I'll first say it's so beautiful how you just said that with the medium, because I had literally the same conversation with a friend of mine, Matt, and I was telling him, and I feel like you probably feel this too. It's like when it comes to like your body, you're like crushing it, you're confident, you're disciplined. And then it comes to your business, you're disciplined, da, da, da. And then there's like certain parts where it's like, why can't I use, it's all me, right? But why is my mindset over my career and balance so beautiful and effortless? But when it comes to my health, what am I not grasping? And he said something to me that fully unlocked. This was like 3 weeks ago. And so evident of I'm still learning lessons. He was like, you know, your health, you know, how else would God get your attention? And he said that. And at the same few days later, I found myself in the bath. I take an Epsom salt bath every day. And I don't know what came over me, but I just started uncontrollably bawling. And I was like sitting in the tub and I was like releasing all this energy. And I was feeling like shit that day. And I started to hug my body like under my legs. And I'm just like hugging myself. And I don't know what happened, but I just started like saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to you. I've been so cruel to you. I've been hating you. I've been resenting you. I've been frustrated with you. Like, I don't love you. Like, I love who I am. I love the way I think. I love my energy, the way I treat people. Like, I love who I am. The way my body functions, oh, it's been filled with resentment. And rightfully so, you know? It's like when you don't feel good, you're questioning, why don't I feel good? Especially to your point of like, I've been doing all the work. Like, why is this not happening? What's not working? And it's so funny how things come to light, because I actually think it was an episode that you were talking in, a podcast episode where you mentioned the book You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Kay. And I was like, oh, I love that title. And so I bought the book, and then it came 2 days later after I had this bath. And the whole premise of the book is loving yourself more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm right. I'm on this journey because I haven't learned everything I needed to learn yet. And my prayers every day are like, show me how to be the most authentic, pure self. Like, I want to feel good every day. And if that is my prayer, then maybe this is the path to get to the place of sustainably feeling good. You know, like, I want to feel good to, in a sustainable way, not just for a moment. And maybe this path right now is like, girl, you got to know how to love yourself fully and unconditionally. And that's why, like, it sucks every day. I wake up and I don't know how my body's going to feel. And when I travel, it's very stressful. And I have my tools, but I'm now in this place of, you know, I could either resent it and be more stressed and put more havoc on my body, or I could be here with it and let it pass and, like, learn as much as I can. So yeah, that's the journey. That's healing.
That is healing. That is healing. And it's, I'm so glad we're going there in this episode and just bringing that perspective to anything that's repeated in your life, any sort of pattern, any sort of feeling, to really lean in instead of victim, why is this happening to me, to what am I not listening to? Yeah. What am I not deepening? What am I not hearing? And where is the opportunity for me to continue to grow? Because mm-hmm. without this aspect of your life right now, who would you be? What would you be doing? You know, it's really yeah. forcing you to do stuff right now for yourself, to deepen your relationship with yourself. And how cool, you're 26 years old and you're having this experience. Like, in 10 years, you're going to be so stoked about it.
I swear, and I came across this realization 2 months ago. I was like, I know what my next book is going to be about. I know the title. It's all about, like, the power lies within. And right now I'm not ready to write the book. I want to simmer in my first one, but, like, I'm experiencing so much expansion internally that is also radiating externally with my friendships and my relationships and my job. It's like, the more I work on myself and my heart and my purity, it's like my friendships get better and, like, I'm more confident at my job, and then my book does better. Like, you know what I mean? And it's, so it really does start from within. And that's, it's troubling every day, because it's like, how much more can I take? Like, I'm trying here, but it's, I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And I just have this feeling where it's like, if I'm experiencing this much right now, it's like my 30s will probably be a lot better, or like I'm setting my future up for success, you know? And right now it's like, all you could do is just be where you are. And for anyone, and even with the healing, I mean, it's like when you were saying, like, what am I not listening to? There's a whole chapter in my book about love and heartbreak. And I found myself, and a lot of the stuff that I wrote in that was from an experience from, like, a couple of years ago. And when I wrote the book, I was like, oh, I healed this part of myself. Like, I'm never going to settle again. And I know my boundaries and I know what I'm worth. And then I found myself in a situation a few months ago where I was, like, rereading my book and all of the words resonated with me. And I was like, wait a minute, I guess I haven't healed this part of myself, because I still don't have my boundaries up. I still don't fully realize my worth. And then I thought, I haven't listened yet. But now this is an opportunity for me to really, really listen and, like, reclaim that part of me. And I don't regret any of those, you know, experiences, but it was an opportunity to take a deeper look into myself. And I think that's the biggest gift we can all give to ourselves, is taking advantage of those opportunities. It benefits you tremendously, but it also benefits the people around you, because then you show up authentically, and then your friendships are real, and then your relationships are healthy, and then you find your purpose, and everything else is just joy and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. You said it beautifully. I want to talk about your book and that whole experience and just how that came to life and what it's about, what it was like writing that, and a little bit about the entrepreneurship journey with that.
I'll start with the entrepreneurship journey, because yes. It's funny how I think life comes full circle. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I was always very creative. I mean, like, the most joyful memories I had as a child was, like, me in my room, like, painting and writing and doodling and whatnot. And when I was in high school, I was really into fashion at the time, and I wanted to build my resume up. And so I started this fashion blog with my friend, And I loved it. Like at the time, it was exactly what I needed. I loved, you know, taking pictures and photography, and I loved writing blog posts, and my writing at the time sucked, but it was so fun to have this like creative outlet after school and doing something other than just studying and homework. And then when I was in college, I started writing for my school newspaper, and I did a few articles on fashion. That was what I was into. And then I had a fashion internship at Tommy Hilfiger, and I was copywriting for their website and for their emails. And at the time, I also had this fashion brand, and I loved like designing and branding and all these different things. And I was like, wait a minute, why do I love writing so much? And when I was 16, I started to write poetry on my phone, like on my notes app, just for fun, like for myself. I wasn't really like journaling at the time. That was my kind of journal, you know, boys and stress and college and whatever, all the things. And I made this bucket list when I was 16 on my Tumblr page, and it was 2 days after I wrote my first poem, which is so like – it was so naive of me to feel this, but it was so real and authentic, where I wrote like, I want to have my poems published in a book. And so I set that intention when I was 16. So fast forward, I'm in college. I'm writing this and that. I start realizing like this is it comes really naturally to me to write. And I was in a conversation with my college friends, and we were all studying for exams in the library. It was like during finals. And I was like, so guys, like, would you rather, and I always do this, I'm always like, let's take a poll. I was like, so what do you guys, would you guys rather study for a 2-hour exam and do multiple choice, or would you rather write like a 10-page paper? And they were all like, oh my God, I would much rather just like study for hours or like a couple days and take an exam. And I was like, wait, what? Like banging out an essay is so easy. Like you do it on your own time. Like you don't need to study. Like, you know, it's so much more effortless. And they were like, oh my God, no. Like a 10-page paper takes me like 3 weeks to write. Like I need to figure out the narrative and the structure. And like I'll write one paragraph and then I'll write like the conclusion. And I'm like, what? Like for me, it's like the night before the essay is due, I'm in bed at 9 o'clock and I just bang out 10 pages. And that was the moment I realized it just comes so effortlessly to me, and I really, really enjoy it. And so I kept writing on my notes app, on my phone. And, you know, I mentioned before, like, I read the book, The Power of Now, and that really got me into this whole mindfulness world. And when I was in Paris and Copenhagen on that flight back home, I wrote this poem, and I wrote how I realized like it's not the job, it's not the people around me, it's not the stress, it's me. Like when I was in Europe, I was open. My mind was open. And I still had my job back home, and I saw the same friends and the same stressors, but I didn't allow it to consume me. And I realized like it all starts from being in a mindful present state. And so I can choose to be happy. I can choose to be present. And so on the flight back home, I had this idea. I was like, I want to create a brand, and I want it to be all rooted in presence. And I want to evoke the same feelings that I just had on this trip so that I never let go of it. I wanted something to hold myself accountable so I could continuously be disciplined on this path of, you know, spirituality and enlightenment and mindfulness, because I know it serves me very well. Like it makes me happier, it makes me calmer, it makes me more at peace. And so October of 2019, I came back from that trip and I was like, I'm going to start this brand. And, you know, I had my advertising brain on, and I've always loved design and branding. And so I came home and I put together this like brand deck, and I named it ECA New, which is a translation of French and Danish, and it means here and now. And I had so much fun like coming up with the brand colors and the visuals and the font choices and like the ethos and all this stuff. And then I just kind of let it sit on my laptop desktop for months until COVID happened. And I never shared my work with anyone. I was very, very private growing up with my writing. It was very sacred to me. The only time I shared it was in college. My friend and I, we were both like pretty depressed over some guys and whatever. And I read her this poem, and it was the first time I ever was vulnerable in that way. And she really liked poetry at the time, so I felt very comfortable and safe sharing that with her. And she started crying, and she was like, you have a gift, and you need to share this with people, because the way that those words just hit me and resonated, like just imagine like who else you could connect with like that. And I took that and I was like, wow, like that's a great reaction. But I didn't do anything with it until 3 years later, COVID happens. I feel really stuck at my job and I want a creative outlet. I did not want to be present. Who did? Like, we were all miserable when that first started in March 2020. And I thought to myself, this is a good time for me to create something that's going to hold me accountable. And so that's when I launched my Instagram page. And at first it was a mood board, like me sharing other people's content and stuff. And then slowly I was like, well, I have all of this poetry, like might as well start sharing my own work. And it started to gain a lot of traction. I started to get a lot of likes, and like Rosie Huntington-Whiteley would start posting me, and like Melissa Woodhouse, like all these people who I love and I connect with and who were on my vision boards at some point started to resonate with my work. And I started to receive these messages from people being like, I thought I was the only one when it came to healing, or I'm in this place and you're in this place and I don't feel alone anymore. I feel seen. And I thought to myself, this feels really, really good because I'm no longer just helping myself. I'm helping other people. And it just started to get a lot of traction, and like one thing led to another where I started to get a lot of followers, and I started to write freelance for my now publisher for their website. And I always, you know, had this book in the back of my mind. And similar to you, when you like, you know, you have your spirit coaches and your mediums and whatever, January of 2022, I spoke to this spiritual coach, and she right off the bat, she was like, you're a writer. Like you write a lot and it comes from your soul. You want to use your voice more, but you're scared to be seen. And that was a huge theme in my life. I was very scared of being seen. And so me putting my work out was like the path of me breaking that wall of myself. But a book with everything is like, it's really intimidating. And she was like, I'm here to tell you, you're going to write a book sooner than you think. And you're going to be writing multiple, but you need to get over yourself and you need to really learn to use your voice more. And she recommended that I started a podcast. So like that day I ordered a mic, but that day I did not take strides in writing the book. I was still very scared. But every day I would wake up and I would do a Joe Dispenza meditation, and he would, you know, in the one of the prompts is like, if all of your prayers would be answered, like how would you be? Who would you, where would you go? What would you do? And I kept visualizing me writing and like walking into a bookstore and seeing my book on the shelf or like seeing it on my coffee table. And I just, it was calling me time and time and time again, until fast forward June of last year, where I had the same meditation and the visions kept bubbling and bubbling up. And I thought to myself, I have to go for this. Like it's calling me. It's like tugging at me. And I have a huge community who loves my work. Like I'm ready. And so that day I just shot my cold emailed my publisher, and it was Thought Catalog. And I knew if I was ever going to publish a book, it would be through them, or I would self-publish because I want that creative freedom. Sent them an email. 2 days later, they responded, and I basically was like, I'm Karen, like, here's my Instagram, like, I love your work, I freelance for your other subsidiary, I want to publish a book, I've been working on a manuscript, like, would you be open, and like, let me know what's the best way to set myself up for success, get my foot in the door, get a feeler. 2 days later, and I kind of just let that go, like, I wasn't fixated on that, and 2 days later, they responded being like, we love your work. We've come across it. Like, let us know when the manuscript is ready. We would love to read it. So now I'm like, shit, like I don't have a manuscript ready. I don't even know what a manuscript looks like. Like that was a little white lie. Like I had a lot of work ready, but I not in the format you need to deliver a book. And by the way, this is like the most untraditional way of getting published. Like I don't know if it was luck. I don't know if it was persistence. I don't know if it was fate. I don't know.
Fate and your purpose. I think when you start tapping your purpose, it doesn't matter how it – I mean, it just happens for you with or without you.
Totally. And I believe that. And so now I'm like Googling manuscript template, and I start really writing the book. It was like July 1st, I want to say. And I learned so much about myself in that process. I healed so much. I really wrote things that were bottled up for years, like thoughts and beliefs and feelings and you know, the way I would perceive myself and writing. I mean, there were days where it would be like 85. It's summer, you know, it's summer, beautiful weather. It's 85 degrees. And I would be in my apartment from like 11, like from morning until midnight writing. And I wouldn't have changed it for the world. It was so much joy and it felt so good and it felt so right. And the thing though that really showed me that this one was different, this entrepreneurial experience was different and this one was going to stick, was that for the first time when it came to my fashion blog, when I came to my t-shirt brand, even with my brand ECNU, I did some merch early on that didn't stick. No one, like, it wasn't successful, truthfully. And all of those things, there was a part of me that was really doing it for the validation or external about, like, that external fulfillment. This book, I didn't tell anyone I was doing it aside from my boss because he needed to know like where I was later at night, like when I'm not answering my phone. And he's my biggest supporter, my biggest cheerleader. And he was the only person that I told, didn't tell my parents because they would have been like, girl, you're already doing too much. Like, just focus on like, you know, your job and like finding your partner and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't tell anyone. And so it was really for myself. Like, that's what the book was about. It was writing for myself. And so I wrote the book in 2 months, submitted it on Labor Day of last year. A week later, I'm out to dinner with my boss. It was, to this day, like the most remarkable day. Had a great day at work, got my promotion, got a salary increase. Then we leave, get an email saying, we want to publish you. And that was the rest of history. And so it took me about 2 months. And it took us about like a month and a half to finalize and edit and all of that. It was up for pre-order by Thanksgiving and it was published in February of this year. And the biggest lesson I learned throughout that entire experience is that when things are really meant for you, they will come with such ease and effortlessness. But also, you know, a lot of us struggle to find our purpose in life. And the reason why I wanted to go all the way back to my childhood was because I have been writing for years and I always loved it and I don't know why, but I now know. Like, it's always been my life's path. Like, that's me and my truth. And I think a lot of people, when they're trying to figure out their purpose in life, they're like, what else can I do? Where else can I go? And it's like, maybe you don't have to go anywhere. Maybe you just go back to where you once were. Like, what did you love when you were a child? What were you naturally good at? What brings you joy? And even like, your purpose doesn't have to be to help other people or like build a brand or be an entrepreneur, write a book. It could just be being a mother. Like, if you love to nurture, you love to care, maybe that's your life's purpose, you know? So it's a remarkable journey and I feel every day so beyond grateful for it because a lot of the stuff that I wrote in there was very vulnerable and everyone from my high school has the book, you know, men from my past, like my romantic interests have it, you know, my parents, family, cousins, like coworkers, like a lot of people have this book and they read it and it's very raw and unfiltered and I've shown a lot about myself, but it feels so good to have it all laid out. And it's like, this is me unapologetically. And every day I get messages from people that remind me of like how connected we all are and how I just want to continuously be that vulnerable because it fosters such deeper connection and relationships and like authenticity. So that's the path.
Vulnerability is the power move.
Yeah.
And really, really the is. Unlock to everything we want in life, which is connection, which is feeling seen, being seen, feeling heard, validation. When you are vulnerable, you feel all of those things. Something I love about your story that I really want to drive home is that you have your purpose. I have my purpose, but you tried so many things in the mm-hmm. process and you didn't let a failed clothing line or a failed fashion blog or a failed whatever stop you. And that I've done the same thing. I have had more businesses than I do fingers and toes, but you know, had I not tried all of those things, I wouldn't have gained the experience and so many people are afraid to find out who they are from who they are not. And I think that the path to finding out who you really are is through the experiences of what you are not, right? So when you have an experience of trying to sell something like merch or whatever, and it's hard and it doesn't do as well, and you know, it takes effort. Then you have an experience where you write a book and it is just, it's being birthed and ushered into this world. That's such a clear sign that you're in your purpose. And had you not had the other experiences to show you what that feels like and what that ease and grace feels like, you wouldn't know that that is what you're supposed to do in the same way. So I love that you shared that you tried so many things, because I get messages all the time from people saying, you know, I'm afraid, or should I try this? I don't know if it's going to work. And I always say, go for it. Try whatever comes to your mind. Just don't be afraid. If it fails, it fails. There's no such thing as failing.
I don't think so either. You know, failure is just another step along the destination. And it's like, I learned even the things from I had this t-shirt brand when I was in college, and it was so bad. Like, the name was bad, like, whatever. But that process made me realize how much I loved branding and how good I am. Like, I've done all the branding. I've never outsourced any of my work or like my design or anything. Like, I do all that on my own. And I learned all that from that t-shirt brand that, quote, failed. So to me, that wasn't a failure. That was a massive win, because I learned I don't want to be a street style t-shirt brand. Like, that's a win. I don't want to be that. But I also gain the gift of branding. But even like the merch thing, this is where it gets really good. And my story is, after the merch, the reason why I did the merch was because I wanted to have a physical manifestation of my brand. I wanted something, because, you know, I'm on social media, so are you, but like, it's all fleeting, you know, like, we save some posts or we screenshot. Like, how often are we really going back to those things? I wanted people to have something physical where they could see in their apartment, or they could wear and carry that with them. And that's why I did the merch. And it was, everything I designed was very intentional and thoughtful. But the day that I launched, I had all of these orders to pack. Okay. This is like universe answering your prayers. I was so overwhelmed, and I hated that entire process. I hated fulfillment. I hated packing orders. I hated going to the screen printing shop. I hated all that. Like, that was the work I didn't care. Like, that wasn't my forte. And so I was like, ugh, like, I like the merch idea. Like, I like people having my words on their body, like wearing it and like it traveling across and like people gifting. Like, I love the idea of it. And funny enough, recently I've been thinking about the merch, and I'm like, do I somehow bring this back? But like, I don't want to go through it again. Like, I don't like the production side of things. It's not where I succeed. It's not where I flourish. It's not my gift. I get an email from my publisher last month being like, your book is doing really well. We want to keep up with the momentum. Would you want to create merch around your book? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, they handle the fulfillment. I do the designs. They manage everything, but it's my words and it's my designs. And it's like, I have the creative freedom and I don't have to worry about the parts that I'm not good at. And that's, that whole thing taught me, like, full circle again. Like,
nothing is an accident.
Nothing is an accident.
Yeah. And also then now you can do that with them with so much ease and grace and knowledge, and you know exactly what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And totally. That's why you have to try everything. I really believe it. Try it all.
Because if I didn't do the merch a year or two ago, I'd probably be like, who's going to want my words? Like, I don't know. Like, why would I do it? You know? So, and who knows? Is it going to stick? I hope. Like, I have no idea what to expect with it, but I'm really excited for it. And it's, you know, it comes from a place of like just wanting to serve and create. And like, that's the intention. And I think if we all put so much pressure on ourselves of like, this has to work. And if it doesn't, then what else am I going to do? And it's like, the people who try, in my mind, are a lot more successful than the people who stay stagnant and comfortable in their, you know, the jobs that they're unhappy at, who didn't try. And so like, let that be a sign. Like, if you are listening and you have something in you that's been calling you, it's like, be the one who changes the dynamic, you know?
Yeah. And give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. try it out, try on different costumes, different personalities. I believe you always come home to who you're supposed to be at the end of the day. I mean, when it's all said and done, and it's okay to have years or times in your life where you are trying on different costumes. There's so much pressure on social media to find your thing and then be defined by your thing. And that, I mean, that's been my biggest journey is that, you know, you have to go based off of the feeling. And I know how I feel when I'm doing the right things. And I know how I feel when I'm not. So even if it might look messy online or it might look like I'm doing 18 things, mm-hmm. I'm just locking into what feels really good. And you can tell in the way it's received by people what you're supposed to be doing because you feel that sense of flow and that sense of freedom and that sense of expression. And it's just, it hits differently when you are in your magic. And if you're not, it's fine. It's fine. You just stack that as, okay, this isn't it, but this taught me this.
Yeah.
You know, I learned so much about business from all the things I've done. So.
And you wouldn't have the businesses you have today in the way they are without those lessons.
Because I wouldn't have the engine to do it. Everything that I did like a run of superfoods during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did like one run, but I learned so much about the food industry and the shipping industry and the customer service and all that. So when it came time to do Brulee, the clothing line, and it wasn't food, which didn't have to go through all this regulation and stuff. Yeah. I knew exactly what to do and how, and it was so much easier than the first time I did it, you know? So
yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I could do food line again, no problem, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's like, that was like tough, but maybe in a different place of life, I would do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, like at the end of the day, it's like, we were talking about this on my show. Like, it's not that serious, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, we're here to have fun. We're trying to make life as fulfilling as it is for us. And it's like, if we're unhappy, why are we choosing that? And if we're not pushing ourselves when we really feel that pull, it's like, what is really holding us back? And I don't know, like lately I've been having a lot of meditations of my younger self, and it's really beautiful where like I'll be in this grass field and like my younger self is like running, and it's like, that's the girl that I'm trying to make proud of. Like, that's who's opinion quote I care about. That's who I'm trying to make happy. And I swear, it's like the writing the book was like really that, the birth of like nourishing that quote relationship with my inner child. But it's like, you know, the only people you got to impress is like your younger self and your older self. And I would much rather live a life where I put myself out there and I tried and put my heart on my sleeve than, you know, wake up when I'm 45 and, you know, wish I did life differently. And, you know, I'm very grateful to say I don't have any regrets in my life, but the only thing that I regret is something I didn't do, which is study abroad when I was in college, because that's an experience I will never get to have. Like, yes, I can travel to Europe and, you know, go all these places, but will I ever get, and when I travel, I like staying at the nice hotel and going to the nice restaurants and like doing it well and like elevated. When you're in college, you're with your friends and like you're on a budget. So you stay at the hostel, but it's like a fun experience because it's kind of weird. And like, you know, you're like on a budget and you're seeing all these places in such a short amount of time. I will never get that back. And it doesn't eat me up alive, but it's like my lesson from that I learned was I never want to regret anything that big because that doesn't feel good. So I don't know. I think we all just need to stop getting in our own way a little bit.
Absolutely. And not be so serious.
Yeah.
Try it all. Try it all, but give it your all, you know, and try. That's my biggest message for anybody listening is really try. Try. Take risks, take chances, be creative. Just do it because we only are here right now. And you might as well express yourself.
I will say, one of my dear friends has been trying to – he's had this brand in the back of his mind for years, and he's told me a lot about it, and he's come to me for advice of like, I want to go over, but I don't know how. And every time I see him, I'm like, so, like, any move, like, progress? And he's like, no, like, da-da-da, comes up with excuses. Like, I'm waiting. I just want everything to be perfect. And I'm like, Ryan, no. Like, you need to take baby steps every single day. Just do 30 minutes. Like, try, like, if you're trying to create a fashion brand, right? It's like, for 30 minutes, Google production partners. If you are trying to create a food product, look up what regulations you need to look into for 30 minutes. Like, start small and you will never, quote, be ready. Like, I was never, quote, ready to be an author. Like, I don't even know, like, what – I still don't know what that fully means. Like, I'm learning that as I go. But it's like baby steps every day is what's going to create that sustainable success. And – I know a lot of people like wait for that right moment, and it'll never come unless you do small actions every day and you try a little bit every day. That's what builds the foundation. Like, over time, you have all these like Lego blocks that are built up and you're like, wait a minute, I actually have a lot here. Like, I have a lot to go with, you know?
Yeah. It's really, really, really true. The little things every day add up, and you will never, ever, ever be ready. It kills me when people say I'm waiting, or I can tell they're waiting to be ready, because I'm like, it'll never come. It'll never come. It will never come. You have to – how I view manifestation is I do the Joe Dispenzas. I believe in all of that. I believe in putting stuff out there. But how I actually manifest is I put myself in new situations. I insert myself there and I make the manifestation a thing. Doesn't always work out. I sometimes have, you know, a very tough time. However, I love that I do that, because I really do make things. I find out if the manifestation is for me or not, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
a few months before I made the decision to email my now publisher, I would, and I actually was doing this in college when I was living in New York. I would go to McNally Jackson, which is like one of the oldest famous bookstores in Soho. And I would always walk in there and I always think to myself, imagine my book on that shelf. And so like a few months before I really made the decision and after I spoke to the spiritual coach, it's right by my office. And so I would pop in and out, and I would just like walk in that bookstore, be around authors and books and pretend like, what would it feel like to walk into a bookstore and like see my book on the shelf? Now, that hasn't happened yet. It's not in McNally Jackson yet, but I know that's coming soon. And, you know, one of the best pieces of advice I received was like, if you want to be a certain person, go where that person would be. It's like, even when I was in college, like I would always walk to, you know, I've always wanted to live I don't want to say lavish, but like a good lifestyle. Like, I like nice things. I want quality furniture. I want quality food. I want to go to the best hotels. Like, I want my wardrobe to be quality pieces and whatnot. When I was in college, once a week or twice, whatever, I would go to the Bergdorf Goodman in Manhattan, and I would just people watch. And I would see these older elevated women living on the Upper East Side, shopping and like going to the afternoon for lunch and like living their lavish life. And I did that because that's what inspired me. So that when I would go back to my dorm room, I would be like, that's what I'm working towards. And that's the type of place I want to be into. And now I could go to the Bergdorf Goodman and buy whatever, like if I want something, I could buy it. And so I think like placing yourself in those environments and also who you surround yourself with plays also really, really big role into reality.
Massively. I think that you can't, you know, you can't expect to lose weight eating the same way. You can't expect to call in higher relationships if you're hanging out with low vibrations. I mean, you really have to insert yourself in the vibration and the results you want to see.
Totally.
Well, you are beautiful. I love talking to you. Thank you for sharing your story, just all of it.
Thank you for having me. Candidly. It's so honored.
Oh, we'll have to do it again.
Yes, we'll do it in person.
Yes. In Austin and New York. Come visit me in Austin.
Yeah.
And I'll come visit you in New York.
Yes. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so lovely. And like, thank you for being so thoughtful with your questions and giving me the space to share all the different sides of business and health.
Yeah, bringing the heart on your sleeve. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow along on social media at Kenzie Burke, and for all things nutritional healing and body at Body Forward. And if you're looking for versatile clothing that will help you transcend the seasons as undone as it is refined, at Shop Brulee. Everything is linked in the show notes, and I'll see you on the next episode.